So it's good to be back. We got back like midnight on Friday, and then yesterday Caleb's brother graduated from high school, so we were like, yeah, right? Woo, yeah. The last one of five boys. His mom is like, all of them are homeschooled. She's stronger than I am, I think, probably. But so we have graduation parties today and graduation parties yesterday, so I feel like we're just jumping into the deep end, sort of, but it's been great. And I think we both have some mixed feelings about being back from Costa Rica here, because like Costa Rica is beautiful. If you have never gone there, please go there. I'll tell you all the spots to go. But it's the way of life is just a little bit slower, a little bit more aware of what's going on around. And we were driving on the interstate yesterday, and I was like, no. Just like softly weeping to myself in the car, because I was like, Costa Rica doesn't even have roads that are this big. You know, there's like one road in Guanacaste that has like two lanes on each side. And so we were driving on, what were we driving on? Like 24? I don't know. I was like, this is the worst. But we are glad to be back and be with all of you. We missed you guys. So I was writing the end of this sermon while I was in the airport, and some of you saw my story, but there's like giant wall of windows. It's like that, but huge. And the mountains are in the background, and our plane is like hanging out, you know, on the tarmac there. And I was like sitting there reflecting on the past 5 months of my life and on this passage, you know, and those mountains were the ones that we had to like take this really long and windy road through to get to the airport from the city, from the little town that we live in. And I was like, wow. Though sometimes when you're in front of something so big, like a mountain or like a giant tree or something, you feel like super small. You feel pretty inadequate and insignificant. But I kind of think that humility, a dose of humility, is good for our species, you know? I think that that's good for human beings to sit in a small space and look at the grandness of the world and be like, wow, God's pretty cool, doing some cool things in the world, and I need to have my ears up to that. So this semester I had 7 students and an intern. I ended up with 6 students. Some of you guys might remember one of my students got really, really sick. I was in the hospital with her for over a week. She ended up being in the hospital for 24 days, half of that in Costa Rica, half of that in the United States. She had 2 blood clots on her lungs and a whole bunch of other things. It got really hairy for us. It was really challenging, but she's back in the States and she's okay now. So thank you guys for being aware of that and praying with us for that. But so I ended up with 6 of them, and we all lived in the same house together. My apartment was downstairs and they lived directly above me. So when the pitter-patter of their little feet at night kept me awake, it was great. And we ate almost every meal together. We were living in really intense community, and they made me laugh the hardest I've laughed in a long time. They've made me cry. They've made me think about the world in such a different way, and they challenged me in ways I didn't think that I was ready for, but it was some of the most fruitful time in my life. And we had wonderful conversations about reconciliation and about intentional community and about what this life that we read about in Scripture is supposed to look like. And there's one story in particular that kind of typifies our dynamic in the house, and it connects to this theme of reconciliation, of forgiveness. So I had a student named Natalie, and she was like an old soul. Like, she was only like 20-something, but she felt like a grandma, you know what I mean? Like, she loved birding, and that was like her favorite thing to do. And there are 903 species of birds in Costa Rica. In all of North America, there's only like 700. So Canada, United States, Mexico. And Costa Rica is the size of West Virginia, which is like the 9th smallest state, you know? So there's like a ton of birds in Costa Rica. So I went out birding with our intern Timmy and Natalie almost every single morning. We would get up at like 6 a.m., go out, look at birds, our little binoculars. She's this little old woman just, you know, looking around for the birds. It was great. And she had this list, this competition to see how many different bird species she could find. But there was one that she really wanted to find. And in the month of March, we ended up hiking 50 miles a week looking for birds, which I never thought I would do in my entire life. But here I am, you know, a birder hiking 50 miles a week. So we had this contest to see who could spot the most birds, and Natalie was desperate to see this one bird. And in Luke chapter 7, we find a woman who is also desperate to see something as well. Jesus was asked to come and eat at Simon the Pharisee's house. And as always, as per usual, the Pharisees are like super full of themselves. Like, they're the worst. I see myself in them more often than not, which makes me really sad. But that's a really great, you know, reflection that we can have on our own life. But in the character of Christ, as per usual, Jesus goes to this dinner party and is reclining, is eating with these people. And a woman from the city comes into the house with this jar of ointment, of oil. And she is labeled a sinner. And it seems as though she really knows it, you know, by her posture, by her response to Jesus. It seems as though she's very aware of the things that have gone on in her life. And she approaches Jesus from behind and is weeping and is washing Jesus' feet and drying them with her hair, which this is a complete posture of humility, being lower than Jesus, behind Jesus, using her hair, which in this time would have been revered and respected, and using that to dry somebody's feet. And like I said, I hiked 50 miles in a week in March in boots, and my feet were gross. I lost a toenail after a 16-mile-long hike, and I would not want anyone coming close to my feet with hair and with their tears. That's really gross, in my opinion. But that just shows the desperation of this woman. She just wanted to get close to Jesus because she knew that something was different about Jesus. She brought this jar of ointment or of oil and was humbling herself at the feet of Jesus. And Simon the Pharisee, you know, scolds Jesus. Like, if you knew what kind of lady this was, what she's done, then you wouldn't let her anywhere close to you. You'd know that she was a sinner, which this is my opportunity to get on this teeny tiny soapbox. A lot of times she's labeled as though she has a sexual sin. We don't know what kind of sin that she had in her life. So it's pretty unhelpful for us to think that she was an adulterer because it doesn't say that. So it helps us connect with the story. We just think of her sin as sin. Okay, that's my soapbox. But Simon was not happy with the way that Jesus was responding to this woman because he's associating himself with a woman, but also a sinner. And Simon is like, we are better than that. We are Pharisees. We have this way of life to uphold. We have a reputation to uphold. And Jesus is not understanding this. And Jesus responds with telling Simon a story. So our story about Natalie started way before Natalie was even aware of what was going on. Timmy, our intern, was quite the prankster. He really loved tricking people or like playing pranks on people, which it was all in general pretty harmless for the most part. But Natalie was also one of the most gullible people I have met in my entire life. So this combination was like brewing, you know, for some disaster. So like I said, all three of us loved birds, and I have gone on a hike called Cerro de la Muerte, or Death Hill, 3 times. And this hill is like 16 miles of like, well, 7.5 straight uphill and then 7.5 right back down. That's the hike that I lost my toenail on the first time. And I did this hike 3 times. Natalie had never done the hike, but Timmy and I had done the hikes before. While we were on this hike, Timmy was like, I think I'm going to help Natalie find a bush chuki. And I was like, what's a bush chuki? You know, like, we have been studying Costa Rican birds for like a long time, and we knew the birds that we could find in the montane cloud forest. And I was like, I did not see a bush chuki on the list. And he was like, yeah, well, there's a bush chook in Australia, but not in Costa Rica. And I was like, what? And he said, I made up the bush chuki. And I was like, okay, so how are you going to help Natalie find it? And he was like, this is going to be the best prank. She has no idea bush chuki doesn't actually exist. And I've been telling her, like, I'm going to start telling her that we're going to find it when she hikes Cerro de la Muerte. And I was like, you're going to get her to hike all the way up Cerro del Muerte to find a bush chuki, and it doesn't exist? And he said, when I first hiked Death Hill, my dad told me there were fried Snicker bars up there, and that's what got me up. So I think it's going to be a harmless prank. And I was like, well, let's see how this pans out, which was my first mistake, let me just say. So he, for 6 weeks, is talking to Natalie about the bush chuki. He's like explaining what it looks like, kind of like showing her a call of what it might sound like, and talking about how she can only find it at the top of Cerro de la Muerte. And in my defense, she could have looked it up. She could have gone to the internet and found out that the bush chuki exists in Australia but does not exist in Costa Rica. But it was a little harsh to say, you have to go to this like 16-mile out and back grueling uphill hike to the top of the Pan American Highway, which runs from Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, all the way down to Ushuaia, Argentina. It's like 19,000 mile long highway. It's crazy. And the very top of that 19,000 mile long highway is in our backyard at Cerro de la Muerte. So it's like intense, you know? And the hike was menacing for Natalie because she was not a strong hiker. She almost didn't come to the study abroad program because she didn't think she could physically do it. And so this was going to be a big deal if she could get to the top of Cerro de la Muerte. So I let the prank go on for like over a month because, again, she could have looked it up and been like, oh, ha, 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 it doesn't exist. But she didn't do it, so I let it go. And theoretically, it could have ended at any time, right? She should have known. But I also think that Simon should have known what Jesus was meaning, but Jesus tells a story to make it abundantly clear, as Jesus always does. You know, whether it's Pharisees or the disciples, they just seem to never get it. And so Jesus tells a story. And he's telling a story about two people, one with a really big debt and one with a really small debt, and both of them could not pay it back. They had no way of paying it back. And Jesus says that the moneylender forgave both of them and then asked Simon, who do you think would love the moneylender more? And Simon responds correctly, which again, I don't know why they don't get what Jesus is saying because they always answer it right. And he says, well, the one with the bigger debt. And then Jesus does something interesting. He turns and looks at the woman, but he talks to Simon. So he's giving dignity to this woman by looking at her and saying, yes, you've answered correctly. He clothes her with dignity and is at the same time scolding Simon for his lack of humility, his lack of hospitality, and says, like, you didn't welcome me at all, but this woman here is more welcoming in your home than you are in your own home. And he says to Simon that though the woman's sins are many, she has been forgiven, and she's shown more love than Simon has shown. I think that would be quite a gut wrench if you had like this dinner party and you invited like somebody really important over and somebody random comes into your house and is really nice or like humble to this person, and then the guy or the person that you invited to your house says like, you haven't shown very much hospitality, and you're like, I put on this dinner party. What do you mean? Like, that's pretty hospitable. But that's what Jesus is saying, is this woman showed more love and humility than Simon did. To whom the little is forgiven loves little as well, and Simon had little forgiven because he was a pious Pharisee and didn't need to be forgiven for much, but that meant his love was very little as well. So even though Simon and the others at the table basically humiliated this woman, you know, saying, like, don't you know who she is? You wouldn't be, you know, if you were really a prophet, you wouldn't talk to her, you wouldn't touch her. Jesus told the woman that it was her faith that had saved her. She was forgiven. So the day of the Cerro de la Muerte hike came. And Natalie and Timmy and Caleb, that was his first hike on Cerro de la Muerte too. He didn't talk to me for the first 3 miles. He was so mad because it was just, huh?
It's 5 in the morning.
Okay, yeah. It was 5 in the morning. That is true. But also it was just like really grueling. And he was like, why do you do this? This sucks. And I'm like, yeah, but don't you love doing something really hard with your like physically exerting? And then at the end of it, you're like, yeah, I did it. And he was like, no. I was like, well, this is a really bad time to tell me that because we have 13 miles left. So we get started on this hike, and our director, my boss, is on this hike as well. He had come in to teach his class, and he is in on the prank. He was like, oh yeah, we only have yellow-beaked bush chookies here. And I was like, if he's in on it, then I'm fine, right? Like, this is okay, because my director is doing it. So we had breakfast early in the morning, and Natalie was talking about how excited she was to see a bush chookie. She was so excited, and she even added a really hilarious comment. Now, it's hilarious. She said, man, Timmy, I'm really surprised you haven't pranked me at all this semester. And I was like, like eating my oatmeal, you know, didn't say anything, because little did she know. So we climbed and climbed over these rocks and these roots, and we finally get to a fork in the trail. The right section of the fork was the Robles Trail, a trail she's hiked a bunch of times. And the hike to the left has this big sign that says, like, prohibited, do not pass, Cerro de la Muerte. You know, it's like really intense and scary. And that was uncharted territory for Natalie. She had never been there before. And from that point on, she said, to the bush chookie, and like went up the mountain. And I was like, she's hiking fast. She's a slow hiker, but she's so excited to see this bush chookie. We're gonna get home in no time. This is great. So she blazed forward, and through this particularly tough passage, like of hike, we stop and we hear. And Timmy was like, it's the bush chookie. So Natalie's like looking everywhere for this bush chookie, you know, is like looking in the bushes and behind a rock. She's like, it sounds so close. And I was like, it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And it took forever to actually get her to keep moving, because she thought she was so close to the bush chookie. But I was like, we'll hear another one. They travel in pairs. And so we keep hiking, you know, another couple miles goes on, and Timmy had like talked to our director in secret, and then I didn't see the director for like 20 minutes. I was like, where did he go? You know, he's a fast, fit hiker. He's like 67, but he beat me on the hike. It's incredible. And so we're hiking, and then all of a sudden we hear again, and that is like, it's the bush chookie, it's the other one. So we're looking for this bush chookie, we can't find it, and this happened 3 or 4 more times, and you know, before we knew it, we were at the top of Cerro de la Muerte. We had made it. It was so exciting. We were happy to be up there. We were sitting on this giant rock. From Cerro de la Muerte, you can see the Pacific and the Caribbean Ocean at the same time on a clear day. It was cloudy that day, unfortunately. But Natalie was like relieved, proud of herself. I told her, like, I am beyond proud of you. You know, you did something so hard, and you did it. You completed this hike. So we were eating our snacks, and then we hear again. And Natalie's like, it's the bush chookie. I'm gonna see the bush chookie. And she like, you know, starts to get off this rock sort of, and then it stops. And Timmy was like, oh, don't worry, you'll hear it again. And sure enough, in a few minutes we heard
bush, 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 bush. Chookie, chookie, bush, chookie, bush, chookie, bush, chookie, bush, chookie, bush, chookie.
And Natalie was like, Timmy, that's hilarious, you know, funny, haha, where's the bush chookie? And Timmy was like, I played it again. He had brought a speaker with him the entire hike and was hiding it ahead of Natalie and was playing a spotted ground quail's call, not the bush chookie, but Natalie didn't know it was the spotted ground quail. And then he played his audio recording of him saying, bush, 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 chookie. But Natalie did not get it. She didn't get it at all, and I realized that she didn't get it, and I said, for clarification, Natalie, the bush chookie doesn't exist. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's been a prank, because you could have looked it up, and you didn't, but you made it to the top of Cerro de Muerte. And Natalie, her face fell, and she hid her face from us. And she didn't say anything for a really long time. And we were up there, our snacks had been eaten, and when she finally lifted her head, her eyes were red and puffy. And she was really hurt. She had looked forward to this for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. She hiked 16 miles. I guess it was a little less than 16 miles, but she hiked so long. It was the hardest hike she had ever been on in her entire life. And then she found out that we had lied to her for 6 weeks. This was a betrayal of her trust, a breakdown in our relationship with her. It was awkward, really awkward, between her and Timmy on the way down. Because she was hurt, Timmy felt awkward. He didn't know what to say. He thought it was a funny prank. It didn't really affect him very much. But she had just done the hardest thing she'd ever done in her life, looking forward to see a bush tukey just to find out it didn't exist. So to add insult to injury, it rained the last 6 miles of our hike. Pouring rain, just absolutely pouring. So we were all hiking in the rain, in silence, you know, sad, wet, cold. And later at dinner, a lot later, we were sitting at the dinner table, and Natalie spoke up. And she said, you know, at first I was really hurt that you guys lied to me. And I'd done the hike just to see something that I realized was fake and it wasn't real. But then I realized I should have known that you were going to prank me at some point, and it's okay. And Timmy apologized. He realized that he had done something wrong, that he had hurt Natalie, and apologized. And their relationship actually grew from that. And Natalie said, as reparations, she wanted to dye Timmy's hair blue. And so Timmy said, you know what, a six-week-long con, I'll take the blue hair. You can dye my hair, which is why Caleb has dyed hair, because I dyed his hair at the same time, which had nothing to do with this story. I just really wanted to do it. And I didn't tell him that I was using bleach, so it's not going to go back. So Timmy and Natalie repaired their relationship. Through that hurt and the awkwardness, they grew a little bit closer together. And Timmy's debt was forgiven by Natalie. Natalie was relieved. Timmy was relieved. They visibly looked more relaxed. The conversation went back to normal, the same way it had every morning hike for the past, you know, few months when we were burning together. Their pain turned to laughter, and they grew in respect for one another eventually. Because forgiveness is a powerful thing. We never deserve it, ever, but we always need it. And this woman in this passage teaches us that we can come to Christ in humility for our sins because we have nothing to fear. Christ is not going to respond to us the way the Pharisees, the way Simon responded to us. Christ always responds with open arms, with forgiveness, and with reconciliation in our relationships. Receiving forgiveness is hard, but forgiving other people can often be harder because when we experience forgiveness, we can better model forgiveness, but that doesn't change the fact that there was pain. That doesn't change the fact that there was a breakdown in relationship. That doesn't change the fact that something happened to you in your life, potentially by another person. But really, forgiveness can help us come together and repair those relationships. So Jesus elevated this woman who Simon and the other Pharisees were actively casting away. They were denying her dignity, and Jesus gives her dignity. This kind of forgiveness is transformative for every person involved. This woman's life was changed for the better because she received compassion and forgiveness. And the Pharisees saw what it looked like to forgive with grace and mercy, something they needed a lot of. Jesus doesn't ask us to decide, like, what the other person has done wrong or to decide whether they deserve the forgiveness. And Jesus doesn't ask us to make the decision on where somebody's eternal destination is going to be. That's not our job. That's not our burden to bear. Our burden to bear is extending grace and extending mercy and extending forgiveness to those in our life who have done us wrong. And it's also extending grace to yourself and mercy to yourself as you receive forgiveness from somebody else. These broken relationships are a hard burden to bear, but forgiveness gives us a way of sharing the burden between people. For Natalie and Timmy, they shared the burden of their broken relationship together. And they both received healing together. Timmy felt relieved that his relationship was restored, and Natalie, the elephant in the room, wasn't there anymore. The bush chookie in the room, you know, seemed to go away. So maybe there's someone that you need to ask forgiveness from. Whether it's small or big, those burdens weigh heavy on us. They take up a lot of space in our heart and in our minds. I think one of the hardest parts about asking for forgiveness is admitting that you did something wrong or admitting that you hurt somebody. That takes a lot of humility, and that's the part that Simon lacked, was humility. Maybe you might need to extend forgiveness to somebody else, or maybe you need to forgive yourself. I, for one, have a really hard time at looking for opportunities for forgiveness, looking for opportunities to extend grace and mercy. I would much rather just forget about it, avoid the conflict, just let it go, water under the bridge. But the truth is it stays with you, you know? Even if the situation has been a long time ago or you've gotten over it, it still stays with you. When it comes to forgiving myself, I feel paralyzed by guilt. I think some of us who have, maybe if you've grown up in the church all your life, you know what that guilt and shame might feel like. And that's hard. But this woman helps us learn how we can respond. The woman who visits Jesus doesn't need to feel scared or guilty because Jesus is open with her. She comes to anyway, despite her flaws and all of her wrongdoing. And it's that faith that Jesus commends her for. She knows that she did something wrong, and yet she's taken a step of faith to ask for forgiveness from Christ. So I think Jesus would agree with Marianne Williamson. She says, "The practice of forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of the world." And that is worth saying one more time. The practice of forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of the world. So though the bush chookie does not exist, forgiveness does, and it can dignify both parties involved when it's done with grace and with mercy. So let's pray and welcome our kids in. God, you opened the eyes of the blind and healed the sick, forgave the sinful woman, and after Peter's denial, confirmed him in your love. Oh, how our hearts struggle to forgive wholly and fully. We thank you for demonstrating such forgiveness by graciously extending it to us. Help us to forgive freely and let go of bitterness, and grant us the strength to trust you as you declare freedom over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.